My name is Richard McCauley, and Wes has asked me to come share my testimony with you tonight about this particular topic of what the owner's manual has to say about divorce. And before I start, I just want to let you know that it was almost exactly 6 years ago that I was sitting right where you were sitting, that I had come to divorce care. We used to meet over at the Sheraton next door. And come to divorce care, I was a brand new believer. I mean, I've not even been a believer yet by the first time that I came to divorce care. But I want to let you know that I'm glad that you're here, and remind you that this is a safe, great place for you to find healing from your divorce, or even if you're still in the midst of it, and also to find the direction that God wants you to have as you go through this difficult period in your life. So first, let me share a little bit of background about my marriage. My former wife, Cindy, and I dated for several years before we got married. Neither of us were believers at any time while we dated, while we were married, or as we went through our divorce. Neither one of us sought God's wisdom as we were making a decision to get married, or sought God's wisdom as we were processing through whether we were going to go through a divorce or not. As a result, we didn't have a strong foundation for our relationship. We were living, you know, with the wisdom that we brought to the table and what we brought to the table by ourselves. We didn't have a community of believers around us. We didn't read scripture. We were just going by whatever we thought was best, or the worldly advice that we were getting from our non-believing friends and family. As we ran into trouble, we didn't pray. As I said, we didn't seek community or wise counsel. And quite frankly, we were right where the enemy would want us to be. We were isolated. I've used the term before that I was divorced from God, okay? And I was over here just as far away from God as I could be. And that's exactly where the enemy would want me to be, because that way he could have his way with me. Because I wasn't seeking out any wisdom, or I wasn't seeking out God's word or community for what he would want me to do. So after just a few years of some pretty consistent, you know, squabbling and bickering throughout our marriage, we divorced. We went our separate ways. We divorced for irreconcilable differences, as Steve references in the video tonight. And I immediately jumped into another relationship. I think next week you're going to talk about new relationships. I'll give you a little bit of a precursor. Don't do what I did, okay? you'll hear a lot of that next week. I immediately jumped into another relationship thinking I wasn't the problem, you know, and I was also seeking validation from somebody else that, you know, I'm still wanted, I'm still valued, look, I can make another relationship work. I could go on and on about that topic. But that's what I did. I jumped into another relationship hoping that that would make me feel better. I didn't want to deal with the pain of the divorce, didn't want to acknowledge my failure, didn't want to acknowledge that maybe there was something wrong with me. So I jumped into that other relationship. And from that relationship, I've got a beautiful 9-year-old daughter who's outside playing foosball right now. And so as that relationship came to a close, now I've got two failed and broken relationships that I have to deal with. But I wasn't done. I still wanted to chase women and think that I could find the happiness that I was lacking or missing in a relationship. And so I continued for a couple of years, continued dating. I didn't have any more significant relationships after that, but just continued to find my significance and my worth and my value somewhere outside of a relationship with Jesus Christ. And it was a couple of years later that one of these women that I was chasing invited me to come to Watermark. And so when we were still meeting over in Lake Highlands, I came on a Sunday and I listened to the pastor, and it was a good message. And I'm like, hey, this is different than other churches that I've been to before. And it was different definitely than the church that I grew up in. And I'm like, I could come back here. And besides, it's good for my daughter. Right. And so a couple months later, I was encouraged to come meet with Wes and talk about the my biblical availability to remarry. And just that phrase, I was like, where in the world did that come from? I mean, that whole idea that there had to be biblically available to remarry was totally foreign to me. And that's because I never opened my Bible. I never opened up and I never sought God's word or his instruction as to what he would want me to do, or how much God values marriage and how important it is to him. And so Wes and I had an hour scheduled, and I think for about 58 minutes of that hour, Wes didn't want to talk about my biblical availability, didn't want to talk about my divorce or anything. He just wanted to talk about my salvation. And to this day, every time I get the chance, I thank Wes and I give him the credit for doing that, because it was a very, very significant conversation for me. And it got me to really facing some things that I needed to face in my own life. And as a result of that conversation and a series of others that he and I had together, I started coming to divorce care. I did become a believer. And then when we got to this night inside of divorce care, it just hit me right between the eyes that I did not have a divorce that was based on any sort of biblical grounds. Like I said before, we divorce for irreconcilable differences. And so here I am, this baby believer, confronted with this really significant issue. And I had a choice to make. I had a choice that I could either just kind of say, that was something that happened in the past. I'm just gonna move forward from here, and I'm not going to deal with that. Okay, and I promise I'm not going to make those mistakes again. Or I could just stand there and I could look it in the eye and I could say, man, I've got a significant issue here that I've got to address. And I want to address it the way that God wants me to address it and not the way that Richard wants to address it, because I've got a pretty good track record of how things turn out when I do things the way I want to do them. And so that was very significant for me. I'm not going to go into the specific scriptures. They reference them tonight. And Wes and I have done a CD series that you all got as you came into divorce care. If you haven't listened to those, I want to encourage you to go ahead and do so, because we go into some significant detail about marriage, divorce, and remarriage. So I don't want to go into that, but I just want to tell you what it meant for me. So after going through this lesson, what it led me to do is I went to the bookstore and I bought a concordance. And I just looked up every reference in the Bible that I could find, Old Testament and New Testament, regarding divorce, regarding marriage, and regarding reconciliation. And I just pored over that scripture. Didn't do it by myself. I was a baby believer and I needed some help. And so with Wes's help and my small group leader, Bob Rudy, just kind of went over that scripture and really, really sought after what God wanted me to do with that. So I did that, and I spent a tremendous amount of time in prayer. And these were some really raw emotional prayers. I mean, throwing myself face down in the bed, grabbing a pillow, crying into the pillow, just, Lord, what do you want me to do here? I've got this tremendous mistakes in my past. What am I supposed to be doing? I'll do anything you want, except go apologize and seek reconciliation with my ex-wife. I'll do anything but that. I'll tithe, you know, I'll serve, I'll give you as many hours as you want, building homes for the homeless, but please don't make me go address these things with my ex-wife. Well, guess what happened? I didn't go build homes for the homeless. What he said was, Richard, look, if you're going to follow me, you got to follow me 100%. This isn't a 75, 80, 95% deal. He said, I want your whole life and your whole heart. So, again, big boy, what are you going to do? Are you going to follow me or are you going to follow yourself? And so, again, through community, through prayer, and through reading God's Word, I began the process of addressing this stuff with my former wife, Cindy. I just called her up and said, hey, I'd like to meet you and just kind of go over some changes that have gone on in my life. Would you make some time for me? And she did. And the first thing I did was I just told her, you know, I'd become a Christian. And that was a great conversation that we had. And then I acknowledged some of my smaller transgressions in our marriage. Just, I wasn't a good leader, you know, and I just wasn't leading our household well and a few things like that. And then eventually we started talking about the fact that we didn't have a marriage that was based upon, or didn't have a marriage or a divorce that was based upon Scripture, and we didn't divorce upon biblical grounds, and what that looks like and what I was going through with that. And she was really floored. She was like, you're talking about maybe reconciling our relationship? And it was really difficult for me to acknowledge my shortcomings, to acknowledge the fact that before we got divorced, I'd started another relationship and had committed adultery, and just all the mistakes that I made. And I had to seek her forgiveness for those things, acknowledge my sins, seek forgiveness, and then we started talking about reconciliation. And this happened over a period of probably about 3 months. We're talking about emails, we're talking about phone calls, we're talking about lunches and dinner, hours and hours and hours of this. And all the while, again, I'm praying, I'm seeking wise counsel with my small group leader and with Wes, and I'm just continuing to spend time in God's Word and continuing to pray and to cry out to Him as to what it is that He wants me to do. So at the end of all this, my last lunch that I had with my friend Bob before the last dinner that I had with my former wife, he said, Richard, have you just flat out said, Cindy, would you like to reconcile? And I said, well, I guess I haven't really put it in those terms. No, Bob. And he goes, well, what's keeping you? So the next night we met and we had dinner, and I asked her, I said, Cindy, I mean, we've been talking about this for a long time. Would you like to pursue reconciliation? And she just looked at me and she says, Richard, she said, I love you and I've always loved you and I always will. And to this day, I consider you a friend. But we never should have been married in the first place. And so I'm going to go my separate ways. And so as I walked out of the restaurant that night, you would have thought that I might have been crushed or devastated. I was walking on a cloud. It was one of the most significant spiritual highs that I've had as a believer. And I just sat in my car and I just prayed to God and I just felt His Spirit come over me. And I just felt Him saying, well done, good and faithful servant. Because you did exactly what I wanted you to do. You submitted this circumstance to me. You reconciled to me first. And then you attempted to reconcile with your ex-wife. And you did it the way that I want you to do it. You did it by studying my word. You did it through prayer. And you sought wise counsel. And so He said, you have reconciled with your ex-wife as far as I want you to reconcile with her. And so in my case, the reconciliation didn't mean restoration of my marriage. Your circumstances might be different, okay? But as I left the restaurant that night, I really, really felt like God was saying, you did well, Richard. Okay? Now, I want to stop here for a second and say, look, this is not about me, okay? And this isn't that, hey, Richard did a great job with all this. This is about God and what He was doing in my life. That when I submitted to Him, and when I studied His Word that He left for me, okay, that amazing things can happen. And I could go on with some amazing things that happened in Cindy's life as well, but I want to make it clear that God gave me everything that I needed and more to handle the situation. He gave me a great church. He gave me great community to help me process through it. He gave me His Word, and He gave me the ability to pray to Him. Through the death of His Son on the cross, I had the opportunity to be reconciled to Him, which I wouldn't have had without Christ's death on the cross. So God gave me everything that I needed. The choice that I had was whether I was going to utilize that or not. And it's the same choice that each one of you have here tonight. You know what God's Word, it's been shared with you this evening in the video, and you guys will talk about it more in your small groups. You know what God's Word has to say about divorce. And you know what your circumstances are. And if there's some gray area there for you, you've got group leaders, you've got Jessica, and you've got Wes to talk through it with you. But you've got a choice to make, just like I had a choice to make, as to whether you're going to fully submit to God's will for your circumstances or whether you're going to try and maintain some control over that yourself. And I can tell you that if you want God's best for you, do those three things. Stay in His Word. Pray and seek wise counsel. And if you do those things with an earnest and open heart, with a humble spirit before God, being ready to yield to whatever it is that He wants you to do in those circumstances, you will absolutely, unequivocally get the best that He has to offer for you. That's what I have to share with you tonight. Thank you very much.